You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, January 22, 2026. When I need you, Europe likely to remain a key outlet for U.S. LNG as exports accelerate. Published by Richard Pratt. Buoyed by record-level feed gas demand and several planned export terminals reaching important development milestones, 2025 was a banner year for U.S. LNG. But while the U.S. has cemented its role as the world's leading LNG exporter, a position it will likely retain for decades to come, the industry's rapid growth has given rise to suggestions that it might become a victim of its own success. In today's RBN blog, we'll examine these near-term challenges and discuss where demand could increase in the long term to accommodate the additional LNG cargoes expected to hit the global market over the next several years. In Float On, the first blog in our short series on LNG market conditions, we looked at why some observers have suggested that a massive wave of new LNG supply, emanating primarily from the US and Qatar, could result in economics bad enough to precipitate a pullback in US LNG exports. But we also explained why the fears of oversupply and U.S. cargo cancellations may be exaggerated, with the great wave some expect more likely to resemble a gradually rising tide. U.S. LNG export capacity, which now stands at about 15 BCF per day, is expected to top 30 BCF per day by the early 2030s. See our weekly LNG Voyager report. Due to a number of factors, including proximity, the war in Ukraine, and challenges in transiting the Panama and Suez canals, European LNG import terminals have emerged as the preferred destination for U.S.-sourced LNG, so the relationship between European pipeline gas prices, as reflected in the Dutch Tidal Transfer Facility, or TTF, and Henry Hub is critical to the profitability of LNG trading in the Atlantic Basin. About two-thirds of U.S. cargoes headed to Europe in 2025. To realize a profit from selling LNG to Europe, a producer or lifter of U.S. LNG needs to achieve a sales margin that exceeds the cost of delivering the LNG. These costs include liquefaction, a fixed cost at around $2.20-$3.00 per million BTU, plus the cost of chartering and operating a vessel, and the cost of the gas itself, which is generally thought of as 115% of the Henry Hub price. The extra 15% reflects the gas used as fuel in the liquefaction process. See Sultans of Swing for more. In addition, importers of LNG into terminals expect the costs of their terminal capacity to be reflected in the import price as a discount to TTF, further narrowing the scope for profitability. In recent months, the price differential between TTF and Henry Hub has narrowed to the point at which lifting and delivering a cargo of LNG to Europe based on the above economics could become marginal at best, and potentially negative for some players. However, this does not necessarily mean that cargoes will be cancelled by lifters of US LNG for several reasons. Number 1. LNG plants initiating production must produce LNG as part of the process of starting commercial sales. This process may last for several months before the commercial contracts kick in. The next LNG project to start up will be the 14 million tons per annum, or roughly 1.86 BCF per day, Golden Pass facility in early 2026, while Corpus Christi Stage 3 and Plaquemine are still commissioning. Number 2. Many lifters of U.S. LNG are European utilities. Galp, Uniper, Orlen, Enel, Centrica, etc., all of which can lift cargoes and deliver the regasified LNG into underground gas storage to serve their home markets. Number 3. If a lifter declines a cargo, it can be lifted instead by the plant owner, for example, Cheniere, which does not have to pay the liquefaction fee. Why give the plant owner, who is also a competitor, the opportunity to produce a low-cost cargo? Number 4. Canceling a cargo may mean having to idle an LNG carrier, or LNGC, which will incur fixed charter costs and fuel costs to keep the ship moving to prevent marine fouling, i.e., the buildup of organisms attaching to the bottom of the ship. If the ship loses the LNG needed to keep it cold, it will have to undergo a cooldown, and U.S. terminals have shown little appetite for providing this service. Number 5. The growing use of re-liquefaction units and subcoolers on modern LNGCs gives greater scope for use of the vessels for floating storage of LNG. Given that cargo cancellations are unlikely to stem what we have described as a gradually rising tide of LNG, will demand increase to accommodate the new volumes? Since 2022, European buyers have been the primary customers for U.S. LNG, importing approximately 60 million metric tons, or MT, equivalent to 7.9 BCF per day, in 2024. In response to pressure from the Trump administration during tariff negotiations, the European Union, or the EU, in July 2025 pledged to import $750 billion in U.S. energy in the form of oil, LNG, and nuclear fuel, partly as a means of displacing Russian energy supplies to Europe. We should note that these imports were due to take place by 2028, a deadline that most industry commentators don't consider feasible. LNG deliveries from the U.S. to the EU totaled about $20 billion in 2024. For its part, the EU adopted legislation in October to terminate purchases of Russian LNG and gas under long-term contracts by January 1, 2027, see Turn the Page, with short-term contracts to be terminated within 6 months. The EU imported 16.65 million tons per annum, 2.2 BCF per day, of Russian LNG in 2024, a record. It also imported about 52 billion cubic meters of pipeline gas in 2024, equivalent to about 38 million tons per annum of LNG, but those volumes were cut significantly after Ukraine's major natural gas transit contract with Russia expired at the beginning of 2025. The EU policy opens the door to increased imports from the US, although producers will have to compete with Qatari products from the Emirates' North Field Expansion Project, see We Three Kings. EU LNG demand has shown a downward trend in recent years, but growth opportunities within the region still exist, including: Number 1. Croatia's sole LNG import facility, the LNG Croatia FSRU, floating storage and regasification unit, recently returned to service after having expanded its capacity by about 2.3 million tons per annum, 0.3 BCF per day, and is expected to operate at a high rate. Number 2. Bulgaria's national gas company, Bulgargaz, has committed to import 4 cargoes of U.S.-sourced LNG this winter and is seeking to make imports via Turkey. Number 3. Although not part of the EU, Turkey, via state-owned gas company BOTAŞ, recently signed medium-term LNG purchase contracts with multiple parties that will supply 11 million MT over 2026 to 2028. In addition, BOTAŞ has contracted with Mercuria to purchase about 3 million MT per year, 0.4 BCF per day, of U.S.-sourced LNG from 2026 to 2045. Staying in the East Mediterranean, Egypt, with 4 FSRUs in place, will likely emerge as another demand center for U.S. LNG, having imported just under 6.5 million MT in the first 9 months of 2025. Europe turned to FSR use after the Russian invasion of Ukraine in 2022 to ramp up LNG imports. Russian LNG, derived from its Yamal, Vysotsk, and Arctic LNG projects, will most likely be diverted from Europe and sold to China, whose multiple import facilities and regional demand centers are suitably configured to absorb the volumes. Other destinations might include Vietnam, Brazil, and India. Sanctions against Russia could complicate those possibilities, but it's difficult to predict how that might play out. The reconfiguration of global LNG flows is not simply a matter of volume, but also one of price. The history of LNG commerce was based on long-term, point-to-point contracts linked to the price of crude oil, with very little product transacted under short-term or spot deals. That model has now changed to one in which spot trade accounts for a significant 30% of LNG volumes, according to the International Group of Liquefied Natural Gas Importers. This has arisen largely because of the volume of destination-flexible LNG that can be delivered to any market and is able to realize the best price for the seller, a category that includes all U.S.-sourced LNG, see upside down and as long as the price is right. This is a key element in the growing commoditization of LNG, such that the current LNG market is increasingly coming to resemble the crude oil market, see Don't Fear the Reaper. Economic theory says that in commodity markets the price of the marginal cargo, in this case one produced in the US, is set by the global supply and demand balance of the commodity. The increased LNG export capacity expected over the next several years promises to be a very important test for the global market. In countries such as Japan, South Korea, and Taiwan, LNG is required for energy security, and price considerations are of secondary importance, so their demand is relatively inelastic. However, in China and India, the relationship between price and demand is poorly characterized, if at all. Energy buyers in both markets have competing sources of energy, whether it is pipeline gas, domestic production, or, in the case of India, naphtha, instead of natural gas, for fertilizer production. Also, in both China and India, there is likely to be significant potential for demand increases. Each is home to retail markets that are price-sensitive and strongly influenced by the price of competing fuels, notably diesel. Use of LNG as a marine fuel is another likely growth area. In its 2025 LNG outlook, Shell increased its projection for LNG demand in shipping from just under 10 million tons per annum in 2023 to 16 million tons per annum in 2030. LNG is emerging as the alternative fuel of choice for many shipowners, far outpacing LPG, methanol, and other options. Taken together, U.S. LNG is unlikely to be derailed by near-term margin pressure or fears of oversupply. While Europe's ability to absorb incremental volumes will ebb and flow with prices and weather, the global LNG market is becoming deeper, more flexible, and more price-responsive. And while LNG supplies may enter the market in far larger increments than individual demand centers can currently accommodate, there is reason to believe, A, that the supply buildup will be slower than projected, and B, that LNG demand across multiple markets and applications will, in the aggregate, respond strongly to a period of pricing that makes LNG competitive in downstream markets. LNG exports will be among the many topics discussed at RBN's upcoming GasCon 2026, the one-day conference, to be held at Hilton Americas in Houston on Wednesday, February 25th. We'll bring together RBN's top analysts and leading executives from across the industry to discuss the latest developments in Gulf Coast gas markets. Early bird pricing for GasCon 2026 ends this Friday, January 23rd. When I Need You is written by Albert Hammond and Carol Bayer Sager and appears as the fourth song on side one of Leo Sayer's fourth studio album, Endless Flight. The romantic love song was released as a single in February 1977. And went to number one on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart, and has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America, RIAA. The song would later be covered by Rod Stewart, Julio Iglesias, Celine Dion, and Cliff Richard. Personnel on the record were Leo Sayer, vocals, John Barnes, Michael O'Marchin, electric piano, James Newton Howard, synthesizer, Dean Parks, electric guitar, Willie Weeks bass, Jeff Porcaro, drums, and Bobby Keys, saxophone. Endless Flight was recorded in 1976 at Studio 55 in Los Angeles with Richard Perry producing. Released in October 1976, the album went to number 10 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart and has been certified platinum by the RIAA. Three singles were released from the LP. Leo Sayer, Gerard Hugh Sayer, is an English and Australian singer and songwriter. He began his professional career as a songwriter in England in the early 1970s. He and David Courtney co-wrote most of Roger Daltrey's debut solo album, Daltrey, which included the hit single Giving It All Away. He signed his first record deal in 1973 with Chrysalis Records in the UK and Warner Brothers Records in the US. Sayer has released 16 studio albums, 4 live albums, 3 soundtrack albums, 15 compilation albums, and 64 singles, and has sold more than 80 million records worldwide. He won a Grammy Award for You Make Me Feel Like Dancing in 1978. Sayer still records and tours and will be doing select dates in Australia in January.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.